The Transfiguration of Jesus. Such an interesting story. There are three Gospels who run this same story, almost word for word. Luke adds a few things. But Mark is the first. And Mark has big purpose in writing the story this way. Can we imagine what it would have been like to see Jesus transformed in front of us into light? It's kind of science fiction-y, isn't it? Also, do you ever wonder, how did the disciples know what Moses and Elijah looked like? I mean, I'm sure that Jesus, in explaining things to the disciples, told them who was there, but you get the idea from this story that the disciples recognize these people. Well, to me, this is something that comes from the way Jewish writing is. There are echoes of Old Testament things all over this. Moses with his radiant face after talking with God, not seeing the face of God because God wouldn't let him do that, but this radiance. I've had people tell me that I've been radiant before, but I'm sure that it isn't anything like this transformation of Jesus. So please join me in prayer as we contemplate what this means for us. Lord God, Creator, you love us, and we are grateful for all that you give us, for this Bible that tells us about Jesus' experiences, that tells us how people experience these things and want to relate them to us and to the world. Help us to feel your love and your enlightenment. Open our eyes as the disciples' eyes were opened. Help us on this path during Lent to contemplate our souls and where we are and where we're going. We thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. Be in us and through us and help us to understand today. In your name we pray. Amen. So this light that came upon Jesus that the disciples see comes in a really important time during Jesus' ministry on earth. Jesus is starting to talk about what's going to happen and where he's going and that he's going to die and rise again. The disciples don't understand. Even in this blathering that Peter does about making these shelters for Jesus and Moses and Elijah, you see this misunderstanding of what's happening and who Jesus is. I don't know what Peter's response should have been or could have been that would make it less like he didn't understand, but the point of the story is that there's this enlightenment that comes upon these disciples, and it's not all of them. Jesus chooses carefully. So this story tells me a couple of things. One is that Jesus brings us to where we need to be when we're ready to see and hear the truth in our lives. That maybe not all the disciples were ready to see the truth about who Jesus is. And so choosing those few was important to Jesus. So are we those few today who are going to have that understanding? Are we those who were walking in darkness and have seen a great light? Jesus is that great light. What Jesus taught and what Jesus was about was really important. It's important to us, so important to us, that we have a church that's called a Christian church. This time of Lent is so important. So when we think about our enlightenment, and where does that light come from, and how do we get perspective, where do we get it from? And when do we get it? This going up to the mountain is a very important part of the stories of Jesus, because the mountain is a symbolic place of talking to God and getting near God and having that communication. So are we going to go to that mountain and get enlightenment? And what is it about Jesus that's so important anyway? God tells the disciples, doesn't he? This is my son. I am so pleased with him. Listen to him. And they were so frightened that they turned their faces away and fell to the ground. But Jesus turns and touches them and says, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. Because with Jesus, everything is okay. Because that's what we need. We need those periods of enlightenment. We need to know that we're loved. We need that quiet time on the mountain to get a perspective of our lives and what's next and how can we be led to the next step. This week, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with what needs to happen with church in the future. Where do we go? Do we want to do a second service? Are we prepared for Lent? Am I there with all my sermons? All of those things were weighing so heavily on me today, or this week. And it came to be Friday and supposed to be my day off, and I thought, I need some quiet time with God. I've got to figure this out. It's driving me crazy. And I sat quietly for a little while and got this very clear, calm answer. It's okay. Everything is okay. You don't have to do it today. I will give you the answers. Just be calm. Don't worry. So I've been able to just let things go the last few days, and as I've done that, I've gotten lots of insights that have just come to me. It's that quiet time that we need. We can think that we are getting things done, and the disciples are rushing up the mountain with Jesus and thinking that they're going to have this other time of learning, and suddenly they're Jesus is before them with Moses and Elijah and this great light, and all they have to do is sit and be calm and observe. And they get touched by the hand of Jesus, and he says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we can all just breathe a sigh of relief and say, it's going to be okay. The hecticness, the things that go on in life, we can take that time to get quiet, and then we're going to know, as we're touched by Jesus in that quiet time, that everything's going to be okay. So as we go through this time of Lent, and we get quiet, and we do devotions, whatever you do, some people give things up so that every time they think about chocolate, that they say a prayer, and they think that that helps them to get closer to God, and it does for many people. For me, instead of taking something out of my life, I want to put something in that is new that brings me closer to God. Maybe extra prayer, setting a time every day when I'm going to pray for someone or something, or, you know, something more structured that I don't have normally in my life. So I pray that we will get together for Shrove Tuesday and have pancakes together, and that we'll start Lent off with the amazing solemn service that is Ash Wednesday service. Getting the ashes, understanding who we are, and beginning that process of seeing the light. We start this week with seeing Jesus transformed, but really the huge transformation, the best transformation, is when Jesus rises on Easter. When we can see that culmination of this life where we followed the star to Jesus' manger and we're still following that light that will brighten as big as it can possibly be on Easter. But for now, this solemn time, it's so important. It's this spiritual time. We cannot possibly, as human beings, do that spiritual time all the time. This is a special time when we have a more deep, more intense, more from us to God. And I pray that it will be that for all of you. Because for me, you know, I never celebrated Lent when I was a kid. And once I started that time in my life when the churches that I went to were celebrating Lent, I found that it was a profound time in my life where I was able to take that time and really get that closeness, get that quiet time. So every day for Lent, take some quiet time. However you do it, it's different for everyone, but take that time and just get quiet and let God transform you. So let's see this transformation not just as Jesus' transformation and transfiguration, but our own, because that's what this is about. Amen?